thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Very honoured, very blessed to be here tonight and to share a wee bit about God's Word. And yes, as you may have heard, my name is Neural, and I'm sure a lot of you are actually thinking, what on earth is a Neural? And do not worry, you're not the only person to think that. I think 97% of people who ever meet me probably think the exact same thing. And I'm actually in the same boat. I have actually no idea where it comes from. I also say to Dad all the time, basically, long story short, Dad gave me it when I was about six, and I said to him all the time, like, where does it come from? And he's like, honestly, I have no idea. So probably one of today's most profound mysteries, where my name comes from. So if anyone finds it or discovers what the reason is, please feel free to tell me. But a little bit about me is that I love football. I think that's the classic line that everybody comes up here and says. And I support Chelsea, the best team in the world, although they break my heart sometimes. And I'd say my favourite food ever would probably be a 15. If I went to death row, I really hope I don't. Maybe I'm visiting sometimes. You know the way they give you like a last meal? If I was ever to get a last meal, I'd probably just ask for like a big tray of 15s. I don't know what it is. I always loved like glazed cherries growing up, so it might be something to do with that. And that was the only way to kind of keep me quiet when I was younger. But something about me is that I'd say I'm quite simple in terms of, like, it doesn't really take much to make me laugh. And one of the ways that I find like, one of the things that I find like the funniest to laugh at is like simple dad jokes. You know, like the wee one-liners or somebody thought something like your dad would pull out on Christmas and the family gathering or something. I don't know why, it's just like so stupid, but like it's so funny at the same time. And somebody who else loves him was a guy called Bertie. So like Bertie was a part of our youth for ages. Everybody loves him. I'm sure a lot of people know him in here, but a little bit of a backstory is that Bertie. So about a year ago, we had a youth weekend. And on the Saturday evening of the weekend, we had a service. And after that, we had like a talent show. And then JT was like, I'm going to go around people and ask them, like, what gifts can our young people do? Or what talents can they do? And we went to Bertie and we're like, Bertie, do you have any talents or anything that you could bring to the table? And Bertie, I don't know, for example, some people were doing like dances or magic tricks or like jokes or impressions. And Bertie goes, yeah, I could name all like the punchlines to the Froob jokes. And if you know what a Froob is, like a wee yogurt, and it has like a wee dad joke at the bottom, the same as like a Christmas cracker would have. And I was like, there's no way. Like, that is the most random thing I've ever heard in my life, but the most incredible thing ever. And like, he was so convinced though. Like, Bertie was like, no, I can. Like, I can do it. And we were like, fair enough. Like, I'll trust you on it. But if I'm being honest, like, I did have a bit of doubt to it. But however, lo and behold, I got to the night, and Bertie kind of stood up. And then I think it was JT had a list of all the Froob jokes. And like one after another, Bertie just rhymed off all the punchlines, one after another, like word for word. It was incredible. It was probably one of the most incredible live performances I've ever seen in my life. I don't think anything's ever going to top it. But the thing that was so cool about it, yes, Bertie made this really big claim, this miraculous claim that we're all like, there's no way, like, there's no way you could live up to that. But the fact that he talked a really incredible talk, and it was convincing, but had some of us doubting, but the most impressive part was that Bertie certainly walked the walk as well. See, his actions backed up exactly what he claimed with his mouth, and he left us all in amazement. And Bertie's like an incredible guy. Everybody from our youth loves him. So many people are really fond of him. But the reason I tell you this is that there's somebody else who talked really, really boldly and proclaimed a lot of things, but actually walked the walk as well and done that to a T, and it's the man Jesus we come here to worship as well. See, Jesus also lived a life where he proclaimed many, many bold truths. Jesus performed many incredible signs and wonders, but by dying, defeating death, and rising again, Jesus proved to the world that he truly was who he said he was. See, Jesus didn't do it as like a flex or just because he could, because he was literally who he said he was, but Jesus done that because he thought of each of us when doing it. Jesus thought of you, and he lived a life just like you and I did. And in doing so, he taught and he left a framework for all of us to how to live a godly, a righteous, a holy life. One, in doing so that we can actually be a witness to everything he came to do. I believe God in here wants us to walk out his path of righteousness, not just proclaim it and talk about it, but I believe God actually wants us to walk it out and prove that the life that Jesus lived actually was so amazing. I believe he wants us to prove to people that Jesus is worth far more than just talking about, but he actually is worth the life laid down for every single day. I believe God wants us to walk out a life, as Paul says, worthy of the gospel. in our every single day. And I wonder in here tonight, do we ourselves walk in the same way that we profess we do? Do we walk in the way that Christ has paved out for us? Do we follow the example Jesus has laid out before us? Or do we just claim it because it's the easiest way to go? So I meant to get a title, but I actually didn't remember to. But if I did, it would probably be something along the lines of living as Jesus did. But my first point is this: you're living proof of the living Savior. And if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be reading from 1 John 2:3-8. And if we're in youth, and we usually say this while we're waiting here, we usually say, if you have your Bible, like, you put it on your head or like give us a shout, but I won't ask you to do any of that nonsense. So 1 John 2:3-8 says this. I'm reading from the NIV version. It says this: we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Verse 6 says this: whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is a message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. And you see, John in this passage isn't expecting us as believers to go and perform all the miraculous signs and wonders every single day. John doesn't expect us to go and maybe walk on the van on the way home or heal somebody on our way home from church tonight. But what he is saying is that there's something that we can attain from Jesus, and that is his everyday, day-to-day walk with God the Father. See, Jesus had a dependency on God for everything that he does and everything that he did, and that's something that you and I can attain every single day. See, Jesus' life was an outpouring of his faithfulness and obedience to God the Father. Jesus lived a disciplined life, pursuing everything that the Father had laid out before him. Jesus lived a life that was testament to his Father's words. Jesus was the ultimate person who didn't just talk the talk, but he actually walked the walk. And Bertie was pretty good, but Jesus is just a bit better. And see, Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. And the thing is that I don't doubt for a single second that each and every one of us in here has the desire to be like Jesus every day. But to make the desire a kind of reality and for us to kind of see that in our lives, we must actively pursue Jesus in a way that shows to the people around us that our salvation isn't just a transaction or a one-time transaction. I think JT talked about that the other day, but it's actually an ongoing transformation into the image of Christ every day. And I searched up the meaning of desire online, and it came up this year. To desire means to have a strong feeling or wanting to have something. A strong feeling or a wanting to have something. And I want to ask us this question in here tonight. Do we generally have a strong wanting to attain the characteristics of Jesus? Do we actually long to be like Jesus? Or do we just think in our minds, like, oh, that would actually be cool if we could maybe love like Jesus did someday, but like, I'm not as loving as he is. Or it would be cool if I could forgive somebody like Jesus did, but you know, I'm a human being, I can't forgive. Or do we actually strive to have what Jesus did? For example, JT and I, really funny story, but a few weeks ago, we randomly had this like burning desire to go to the Northern Ireland versus Germany game. And to put it in a context, like I said here, the desire is to have a strong feeling or wanting to have something. But we went to like nearly every single length to try and get tickets. Like, I think we must have messaged every single person on the whole planet. Like, somehow JT knows everybody in Belfast ever, and he knows somebody that's been in Northern Ireland game, knows somebody that has tickets. But JT and I went crazy, and like that kind of consumed our whole process and our whole thought process, that everybody we came across were like, do you have tickets? Do you know anybody that has tickets? Do you know anybody that has tickets? And we went to every single length to get to it. Lo and behold, we actually did. It's an incredible story. I don't want to do it just us. So if you do have a chance, chat to JT, ask him about the story. It's an incredible story of how we got there. But the thing is, the story, but as we desired, we took action to do everything we could to attain it. The thing is, like, we desire to have our own worldly things as well, we must act the same when it comes to be desiring to be like Jesus. We must go to all lengths to be like him, to talk about him, to read his word. See, desiring to look like Jesus has to look like something in our own lives. For example, when we desire as human beings, as we do, to fit in, you'll go to all lengths to maybe get the newest haircut or like get the coolest glasses or the coolest shoes or the coolest clothes to fit in, or even when, for example, like as you do at Christmas time, to get that special somebody, that the coolest gift, you'll desire to get them the coolest gift. You might drive an hour to the shop to get them it. You might, you know, go spend loads and loads of money, but your desire actually costs you something, and it looks like something to get the gift. But when it comes to desire to be like Christ, it somewhat seems shallow in our minds, and it doesn't compare to the same desire to attain worldly treasures. See, we can all desire to be like Jesus, but so often our actions may tell a different story. I was listening to a video and a pastor online says this here: be exactly what you want to reproduce. Be exactly what you want to reproduce. And basically what he means by this is, for example, if you're living in a season of unforgiveness, you're going to produce anger. You're going to produce bitterness. You may even hold grudges against somebody. But if you walk in the Jesus way, you will forgive even when it hurts, even when you think that they don't deserve it, even when you think, no, there's no way I can forgive them for how much they've hurt me. See, nobody likes being hurt, and I think everybody can stand by that. Nobody can sit up here and be like, oh, it's nice even being hurt. And somebody tells me that, like, oh, they don't like 15s, it actually kind of offends me a wee bit. It's like, that's actually crossing the line. And our flesh tells us everything. Our flesh tells us everything that says, like, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Like, there's no way I could ever forgive them for that. However, Jesus sets the ultimate example. After carrying that old rugged cross, while being physically beaten, spat at, having like absolute dog's abuse thrown at him, while being hung up on that cross, Jesus looked down at the same accusers and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. See, following Jesus' example isn't easy, but it produces real fruit. It produces real joy. It produces true compassion and real love. The way that teaches us, which again he proved on the cross. And that's how you'll be known as Jesus' disciple. And that will reproduce faith. Again, if you live in unforgiveness, you'll reproduce bitterness. If you live in forgiveness, you will reproduce joy, kindness, and a sense of fulfillment. And that's what bearing a witness to Jesus truly looks like. Be exactly what you reproduce. See, this passage clearly highlights that the way in which we become more Christ-like is to follow Jesus' commands. Whether we like it or not, Christianity is far more than just saying that you're a Christian or claiming the label. There's so much more behind the price tag. Jesus is worth far more than just a label or an hour on a Sunday. Following Jesus requires a life that looks different to the average worldly inspired life, a life that is countercultural, a life that radiates joy through all circumstances, a life that loves their enemies and the so-called outcasts of society as well, somebody that loves when it's easy, and dare I say it, somebody that loves the United fans as well, a life that hates sin, but a life that looks like the glorious Jesus. Matthew 14:16 says this: you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everybody in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before others, that you may see people may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And see, you may not think it, but the way you live your life actually does matter. Not just for our sake, but for the people around us, the people we rub shoulders with every day, our colleagues, our best friends, and our family members. And see, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a missionary, whether you're a teacher, maybe a bin man, or maybe you work in an office or any other job in the world, you carry the light of the world wherever you go. Into every place you go, you are a bearer of that light. See, Jesus was a radiant light into everybody he came across. We got to the point where people were constantly asking, like, what is it this guy has? Like, what is it this guy has that is differently or is different? And I know it's a very cheesy saying, but people may hear it all the time, but you may be the only Bible that people will ever read. So you actually do matter. The way you live your life actually does matter. And we all know that one person in our lives who just kind of like lights up a room every time they go into it. And you could literally be having the worst day ever. You could be stuck in like 10 hours of traffic, like bored out of your mind. But then you get to this person, they just like light up your day and like completely change the mood. And they have like a true sense of joy, a true sense of kindness and love and generosity just pours out of them completely. For example, this week, like the interns and JT and I went round for a wee visit to see Anna. And on Friday morning, like, it was like the coldest day of all time. Everyone knows that. And we were out in the morning doing like tea and coffee, and like the hands were just frozen off to the point where like you couldn't move. You're just like a block of ice. And it gets you in that mood. You're like, I can't be bothered to do anything. You just want to sit and get cozied up by the fire. But the thing is, as soon as we went in Dana's house, we were greeted with a huge smile, followed by a huge hug, and topped off with a lovely warm cuppa and loads of bickies as well. Like, literally, like, the best ever. But the whole time, Anna was smiling, she was laughing, and just radiated so much joy, so much love, and so much of Jesus. She portrayed the character of Jesus so well, and some things that were just so simple. I think Jesus in here is calling us to do the exact same thing. You don't have to be somebody special to do that, but Jesus is declaring that over your life, that you are the light of the world. The way you live your life actually does matter. To let our line let our light shine so brightly among the darkness that the people around us, everywhere we go, can't help but say, what is it that person has different about their life? Like, they carry some sort of generosity, some sort of joy. Like, they seem to be going through a really tough patch, but they're still smiling. Like, what is it that person has? And that's the joy of the Lord. And I believe John says it in this passage, not just to convict believers, but also in a hope that if every follower of Jesus truly grasps this, that the world would completely change. Think of the 12 disciples. They grasped this old gospel truth, that not just declaring, but also unashamedly living like Jesus. And the gospel rapidly spread through all the continents, not by clever words or heated debates, but by bearing witness to what a Christ-like life truly looked like. And this is still true for today. There's a pastor called John Mark Comer, and he says this in one of his books. He says, the greatest form of evangelism in our generation won't be clever arguments, but people whose lives look like Jesus. I said again, the greatest form of evangelism in our generation won't be clever arguments, but people whose lives look like Jesus. And the thing is, some of us automatically may disqualify ourselves from evangelism or telling the truth about Jesus, because we may not feel a calling to go on to a stage. We may not feel a calling to go into ministry or to the mission field or to Africa or to all the nations. However, if we've encountered Jesus and his spirit now dwells in us, how we live our everyday lives is one of the greatest tools of evangelism we will ever need. We are living proof of the living Savior. See, the smile under the co-worker when you don't even feel like it, or maybe buying that family member, that unsafe friend, a coffee, actually does matter. That could be the seed. That could be the glimmer of light that somebody may need to come to Jesus. That may be the hope that they may see. See, you're living proof of the living Savior. This leads me into my second point for tonight, which is this. Jesus never hid his testimony, neither should we. And John 5:36 says this. He says, I have a testimony weightier than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. I know it's very wordy, but the whole point of this is that the very works that Jesus was doing, and performed were acts of compassion, were acts of love, and were acts of mercy. See, Jesus lived a life in a manner of love and mercy to everybody. A life that didn't just claim some talk, but he also walked it and produced acts of love to everybody too. But the most important part is this, that Jesus never hid his testimony. While knowing that he would receive some backlash and some abuse and some dog's abuse from people, Jesus never hid his testimony. Jesus never hid his testimony, even though he knew it would ultimately end him being hung up on a cross. But the thing is, because of his boldness, because of his courage, because of his bravery, because he knew what the Lord had sent him to do, many people came to believe because of his simple acts of boldness. And you may feel like your story is insignificant in here tonight. You may feel like hiding your testimony because you may fear what other people may think. Let me encourage you all in here. If you're in a relationship with Jesus tonight, you share a testimony, one along with all the other brothers and sisters in Christ, one full of God's grace, God's mercy, God's power, his goodness, and his salvation. You have a story of God's saving power over your life. See, our testimonies tell people who Christ is and what he has done for us. You may think that God hasn't done much for you yet, but if you have given your life to him, he has saved you from a lifetime of wrath. God has brought you from death into glorious light. Like, that is something to rejoice about. That is something that you can tell somebody every single day. You don't have to wait for this big miraculous healing or something else. Like, God has saved you from death into life. You have eternity in him. You have the light of the world inside of you. That is something to praise him for. And see, for example, when we tell our testimony, there is power, there is liberation, and there is freedom that comes from us. And for the people that are receiving it, there is hope and there is belief that God can do the very same thing for them. You see, people have become familiarized with the person of Jesus, and they may have become familiarized with maybe scriptures from listening to them through old. However, your life and your story of how he transformed you is living proof of what Jesus claims he actually does. And maybe Jesus has set you free from a lifetime of addiction. Why don't you tell somebody about it? Maybe you used to be devoted to money, to worldly possessions, but living like Jesus transformed your heart completely, that you no longer long for the things of this world. You no longer long for worldly possessions, but you actually have all you need in Jesus, and you're content in that. Why don't you tell somebody about it? You see, your testimony could be the only way somebody may hear about Jesus. Your story could be the glimmer of hope somebody, one person may need to make that step into pursuing Jesus. And you see, throughout scripture, God highlights the importance of us sharing our testimonies through many accounts of people proclaiming their freedom through Christ. For example, John 4, the story of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and Jesus kind of comes across her, and she's known as like a sinner, and she goes to the well, and Jesus kind of offers her the water, or what was it again? Living water, sorry, the well that never runs dry, and Jesus reveals himself to her in a way that he also tells the woman like everything that she's ever done. And the woman is like, oh my word, like this guy has told me everything I ever do. I must go tell people about this. And lo and behold, she goes and tells loads and loads of people, cannot contain it to herself. And Jesus kind of reveals himself in a way that she cannot contain it. And it goes on to say this here, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, because of the woman's bravery, because of the woman's testimony, because she could not contain her excitement from that encounter with Jesus. So many people came to know Jesus. In Acts 3, you have the story of the lame beggar. There's a lame beggar who sat outside the temple gates, and he's known there for begging, and he'd been put there to beg for money. And he basically sees Peter and John come past, and he says, like, can you guys give me any money? And Peter and John say, sorry, mate, like, silver and gold we do not have. What we do have is we give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. The man's like ankles became strong. His legs were able to walk again for the first time. And then it says this here. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with awe and wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I thought just there for the crack, but the thing I want to highlight is this, that the guy was so overwhelmed with what God and Jesus had done through him that he couldn't contain it again. Can you imagine, like, it was like he scored a 90th minute winner, and if it was just knee sliding through the temple courts, he's like, I cannot contain myself. Like, Jesus has completely healed me here. I cannot contain this. I must go tell people about this. And because of his joy, because he wasn't ashamed of what Jesus had healed him from, it says that people who saw him were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them. They began to ask questions. They began to be curious and be like, what is it that this guy has received? And see, these stories aren't there just for fun. They aren't just there for excitement, but they actually encourage the fact that your story actually does matter as well. See, people notice it when you have changed. People notice it when you change from your old ways and you're a completely new person in Christ. Don't be afraid to tell them why. See, these are key parts that God includes in his word to encourage us on how God can and he will use our personal stories in order to bring hope and to bring freedom and to bring belief to our friends and our family members too. And the greatest thing about this is a testimony doesn't actually have to be on a stage. A testimony doesn't have to be you up here with a mic. A testimony doesn't have to be somewhere special. But if you've been transformed by the love of Jesus, we are oozing out testimonies of God's goodness and his grace in us every single day. May our prayer be this tonight. May we never tire of sharing our story. Psalm 96 says this, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. May that be our prayer in here tonight, that every single day we will declare the Lord's salvation over our life. May we never get tired of sharing the Lord's goodness and how he's transformed our lives. And that brings me on to point three here. And as we draw to a close, my final point of tonight is this, living like Jesus is a full-time fulfillment. John 10:10 says this, therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and they will go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, Jesus in this very well-known passage is saying to us that living in him is the only way to have life and life to the very fullest. Living like Jesus did is the only way that we can experience true life. He's the only one who offers everlasting joy. Jesus is the only one who can fill that void in our heart that craves for something all the time. And see, once we give our lives only over to him, only then is that we actually discover the absolute fullness of God. Only then do we discover true worth. Only then do we discover our actual purpose and fulfillment that we need and that we find walking alongside him. See, we can search and search forever to find ways to fulfill our needs, to satisfy us, whether it be clubs, whether it be parties, whether it be substances, certain relationships, whatever it may be, whatever this world offers. But Jesus is the only one who will give you life and life to the full. And the truth is that we will never find another like him. We will never find another like him. See, when we live in Jesus, we have a power. Jesus gives us a power to overcome things, a power to overcome the temptations of the enemy, the power to overcome fear, the power to overcome doubt, the power to overcome anxiety and depression. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and I, and that's when we experience life and life to the full. See, we can live for Jesus on a Sunday. We can live for Jesus on social media. We can live for Jesus from afar. But the truth is, we're only fooling ourselves. We're only cheating ourselves from experiencing the absolute fullness of God. The true, thorough, loving, joyful fulfillment in Jesus. See, living for Jesus and living with Jesus through every season is the only way we'll ever get truly satisfied. Living with Jesus throughout the whole week, not just a Sunday, will change our lives completely. He's the only one who offers life and life to the fullest. And if the worship team would like to come up and join me, and as I bring us to a close tonight, I want to finish with this here. The invitation is here. That staggering offer of life is available to all who are willing to accept it. See, Jesus is calling out for you, and his arms are open wide, waiting for you to accept him. Not only on a Sunday, not only for a title, not only for a moment, not just for a goosebumps feeling, but Jesus is here and his arms are open for you, waiting for you to accept him for a lifetime and a lifetime of true fulfillment. And I want to finish with this here. And if you are in here tonight, and maybe you don't know Jesus as your personal savior yet, and maybe this is your first time in church, maybe this is your 100th time in church, and I want to say this, that this world is, as that passage said, is full of an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he offers things in this world that may be attractive on the outside, but can only offer some sort of fulfillment. It'll only offer some short-term fulfillment. It'll never satisfy our souls. But I can assure you this here, accepting Jesus as your Savior is the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. See, Jesus is, I could stand up here and tell so many stories of God's goodness and God's grace in my life and so many people's lives in here tonight. But I encourage you in here tonight, if you have felt the weight of God in this room, if something has been said tonight and you may feel like God is calling you home, then please don't leave here tonight without speaking to somebody, without praying to somebody. Please don't leave in here tonight with that desire in your heart, because we would love to pray with you. There's plenty of people in here who would love to speak to you, who would love to lead you to Jesus. There's no pressure, but I can assure you it is the best decision you'll ever make in your life. So let me pray to close tonight. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Father, we thank you for your grace, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we thank you that your invitation is open to all. We thank you you're the only one found worthy to break the seal and open the scroll. You're the only one found worthy for a life laid down, Father. So God, I pray to thank you that you are here tonight. But I pray if there is one person in here who doesn't know you tonight, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would make it known to them that you are calling out for them. Lord, you say, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be clean to come to you. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to work our way to you. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be perfect to come to you, but you take us just as we are. So God, I pray, would you just call that person home tonight? Whoever it is, Father, I pray, Lord, to thank you that your salvation is near. So Lord, be with us tonight. May we encounter you tonight, Father, and may we not rush away from this moment, but may we rest in your presence. Lord, be with us for the rest of tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.